It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is out today. Coming up, a new bipartisan assembly task force is taking on the issue of youth workforce readiness here in Wisconsin. We'll talk to the chair of that committee about how he plans to tackle the issue. First, in the coming year, Wisconsin's lakes will be a testing ground for documenting and predicting how organisms respond to climate change and pollutants. Does lake life evolve and continue to survive as its habitat changes, or is it likely to die out? That's a key question that our next guest will be tackling as he studies 20 lakes throughout Wisconsin and Alaska. Matthew Walsh is assistant professor of biology at the University of Texas at Arlington. He was awarded a grant from the National Science Foundation announced last week. He joins us now to talk about the work he's going to be doing. Matthew, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So big question here, but as of right now, what do we know about how organisms evolve in the wild in the face of climate change and human-made pollutants?
Well, it's a really key question because in order for organisms to persist, one possibility is that they could evolve over time. And at the current juncture in time, it's really unclear whether or not organisms will exhibit the capacity to keep pace with ongoing climate change.
Well, let's jump in the lakes you're going to study now. Why, first of all, why lakes? Why Wisconsin lakes in particular?
Well, the reason we're focusing on this particular set of lakes in Wisconsin and also Alaska is because scientists have been studying these lakes for approximately 30 years. And over this period of time, they've documented extensive ecological changes in response to several common anthropogenic forces, such as ongoing climate change. And, you know, from my perspective, this framework of long-term ecological change is really great because we've also become to understand that evolution can occur very rapidly in a natural setting. And so then what I can then do is use this existing framework to then ask fundamental questions regarding how evolution proceeds in a natural setting, how predictable it is, but also why it might also be important to the ecology of these systems.
And who are you going to be looking at in particular in the lakes? What kind of critters are we talking about here?
I mean, so the main focus of the grant is looking at zooplankton. So the things that eat the primary producers and the things that also are an important food item for things like small fish.
And how important are these as part of the basis for the rest of the food chain, the ecosystem they're part of?
Well, they're really a kind of key leverage point because they exert quite a bit of control over the amount of primary producers that are apparent in these systems, and thus they'll have an influence on primary production, on water clarity, overall water quality. But then they're also going to be a main food source for fish, and it'll determine all the health of that trophic level as well. And so then if these things are evolving, then they may have cascading or correlated impacts that transcend just their point in the food chain.
Talking to biologist Matthew Walsh from the University of Texas at Arlington. He's kicking off a study of Wisconsin lakes and Alaska lakes, looking at the impact of human changes, things like climate change, pollution, on evolution, on lake species. So, Matthew, do you know yet, have you selected the lakes you're going to work on here in Wisconsin? Where are you going?
So the lakes that have been studied are found in two different parts of the state. There's a series of four lakes in the southern part of the state down near Madison, and there's also a series of seven lakes in the more northern part of the state. And both areas have experienced different types of changes, in addition to things like ongoing climate change, but also lots of changes in terms of human development.
And it sounds like, in a way, this is a race. Can a species evolve fast enough to adapt to these rapidly changing conditions before it dies off completely?
I mean, that's one possibility. I mean, organisms exhibit the capacity to alter their traits without evolving, but in the long run, evolution may be an important contributor to the extent to which that organisms are able to persist in environments, depending upon how extreme the environmental change is.
And when we look at something like these plankton, the zooplankton, what kind of changes have we observed maybe elsewhere in previous research? What kind of changes evolutionarily are they capable of making over time to keep up?
Well, I mean, what scientists have shown in the past, at least one particular type of change that's important, at least to the ecology of lakes, is that zooplankton, if you change the type of predators they experience, they'll evolve changes in how rapidly they grow, how many offspring they produce, and how large they are. And if zooplankton then exhibit changes in something like body size, then that may influence then the type of algae they eat. And so then you could see how evolution then may lead to some cascading impact that will influence then, say, primary production in lakes.
And what human-made changes are you focusing on in particular in these Wisconsin and Alaska lakes? We've mentioned climate change. What types of pollution and other human-made changes are you looking at here?
In terms of human development, the main source of change would be at least changes in nutrient inputs associated with eutrophication. So the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus that often accompany human development on lakeside, and how changes in the amount of phosphorus and how that might then influence the phenotypes of zooplankton in these lakes.
And then we hear about these issues a lot here, especially the phosphorus and nitrogen pollutants. How big a game changer are those pollutants in a lake ecosystem?
I mean, it could dramatically alter the food chain kind of across trophic levels, because if you alter the nutrient inputs, you're going to alter then the amount and the types of phytoplankton that are in these systems, and then that's going to influence, it's going to go up the food chain, it's going to influence then the zooplankton in terms of what type of phytoplankton they're exposed to, which ones they can or cannot eat, and then if you alter then the zooplankton populations, it's going to propagate up the food chain up to the fish.
So on a practical level, how are you going to conduct this research?
I mean, there's really two main components. On the one hand, and initially, what we're doing is leveraging all of the extensive knowledge that's already out there for these systems. These lakes have been intensively sampled for, in some cases, decades, over the course of the whole year, sometimes biweekly over the course of the whole year. And so what we're going to do is use all of this existing data on ecological change and simply ask, is there a signal for evolution in all that data? Or are the zooplankton changing over time? And maybe what is best predicting these phenotypic changes?
Yeah, as I understand it, at least in some of the lakes around Madison, the UW's limnology department has had buoys out there collecting samples for, as you say, decades. Is this a rarity among lakes? Are there lakes generally this intensively studied?
I think that the systems I'm studying in Wisconsin and probably Alaska might be the most extensive amount of data we have on lakes in North America. And so it is unique, and that's really the unique aspect of this grant, is that we have all this data available. We can ask whether or not evolution might be occurring, and then we could also go and perform experiments and confirm and identify why evolution has occurred.
So what's the timeline for this work you're doing now?
The work will be conducted over the course of 2 years. And initially, again, as we're using existing data, and then beginning in the spring, we'll actually go and visit these lakes and begin to collect organisms and then perform experiments in the lab.
So when you come out with some results here, what kind of things will we learn from this that we can apply elsewhere in the world of biology and maybe to maintaining lake habitats?
Well, at a really fundamental level, what I'm asking questions about is, how predictable is evolution in response to these anthropogenic changes? Do you see consistent changes in the traits of zooplankton, both within a number of lakes in Wisconsin, but also across very distinct ecosystems between Wisconsin and Alaska? So if you see very, very common anthropogenic changes occurring, then do you see the same evolutionary changes occurring? And the reason that that's important more broadly is because it may tell us then something about the capacity of organisms to evolve in response to ongoing climate change, whether they're able to persist in the face of any kind of anthropogenic changes. And then more generally, it might give us a better capability of predicting what the consequences of climate change or eutrophication might be over time.
Well, it might be interesting to see, too, if two lakes experiencing similar conditions, say more, as you mentioned, phosphorus and nitrogen, might the same zooplankton develop one response in this lake and a different response in that other lake?
Yeah, that's certainly possible, and that's one of the main reasons that we're conducting this work, is to see whether or not the changes are consistent. And if they're not consistent, then we have to figure out why.
Is this a new kind of research? You mentioned that there had been previous research on, maybe reacting to a different predator or larger predators. Has there been a lot of work on evolution in response to human changes?
I mean, there's certainly people have, this is absolutely not the first study to look at the human consequences or the evolutionary consequences of human activities. I think the unique aspect is that it's embedded in a really unique data set or study system where scientists have been documenting the changes for 30 years. And so we don't have to infer evolution by comparing, say, organisms found in different environments. we can go and look at all of the data that exists and ask whether or not we're seeing consistent changes in the plankton over time, as it occurred more or less in real time over the past several decades.
Well, maybe we will see you out on the water next spring. Matthew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thanks for having me.
That's Matthew Walsh. He's an assistant professor of biology at the University of Texas at Arlington. He was awarded a National Science Foundation grant announced just last week to study how organisms in 20 lakes in Wisconsin and Alaska respond to things like climate change and pollution.